Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is John Orr, and it's time for a conversation with John Orr. I'm John Orr, and today's topic will be affordable housing. Joining us in the KMUN studios is Pastor Bill Van Nostrum, and we're going to have a conversation. So thanks for joining us. We really, really invite your calls. We just have a few rules. No profanity. No ad hominem or personal attacks. If you're going to talk about facts, do your best to make sure you have them right. You may express your opinion succinctly, or you can ask questions and we'll run with it. So let's get started. Pastor Bill, how are you today?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for inviting me, John.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is the first formal broadcast of Conversation with John Orr, and it's going to be a conversation with Pastor Bill, who is the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church here in Astoria, and very involved with the affordable housing question issue. And so I do want to, again, invite our listeners, if they want to call, 503-325-0010. Please give us a call if you have some opinions or questions on this issue. So let's get started. Pastor Bill, I know that from reading the Daily Historian, you have written at least three columns on the subject. So why do you feel so strongly about it, and what do you think, why should we care?
Well, John, I think that each one of us wants to make a difference in the world where we live and work and enjoy our lives. And I recognize that homelessness, the experience of homelessness, is a situation that is happening all throughout our country. And unfortunately, my new adopted community, Astoria, is not immune. And so I just happened to shepherd a critical mass of individuals, of like-minded individuals, who have resources and hearts enough to engage in community projects, and homelessness seemed like one. And when that was voiced often enough in church settings, I really regard myself as the hands and feet of their mission.
Okay. Well, so there are a lot of strong emotional reactions to people have to homelessness. Some of them, it summons compassion, something which, the church, the First Presbyterian Church of Astoria at any rate, really tries to encourage and put put action in addition to words on the subject. And other people, they're repulsed by it. They think that homeless, they associate the homeless problem with people who are smelly, people that don't have respect for property rights or boundaries, people who don't, feel like working or are somehow weak in character. You must have heard these kinds of things before.
Well, that's exactly right, John. And some of my vehemence, if you will, about willingness to write to the Daily A came directly out of some comments that were made in community gatherings that are essentially victim-blaming. Gone are the days, unfortunately, in this society where we were mostly agrarian and we were most concerned about taking care of one another. We'd put up a barn together. We would go down and dance. We would engage in entertainment together. We would make sure our commodities got to market and we got a fair price together. We'd bring in the hay for the guy down the road who had a stroke. Now in the name of progress, and I don't want to deny the progress of the Industrial Revolution, but we've lost that character of caring for one another. And so I think that in our very capitalist society, where profit is prime, and in order for me to win, someone else has to lose, it's much more comfortable sometimes for us to blame the person who is at risk for their problem, and no longer see that I have a role to play in maybe alleviating that problem.
Well, and you know, we should probably, to the extent possible and allowable, put a personal face on this. I would just say that I know folks who tell me that by people who presumably are homeless, they're just out there standing for a handout. And this idea that if you have services or food that available to the homeless, that you will draw more of them to your community, and that's not a good thing. That like people, men and women who are at the intersection of Highway 101 over there by Fred Meyer and come all the places, that those people are making more money than they would if they were working a minimum wage job, and they are able-bodied people. They just prefer to take the easy way out. So you have, I assume, some firsthand knowledge of people who have been homeless. And what kind of stories do you hear? Are there patterns to them?
John, you're right. That opinion about the lucrative panhandling attitude is prevalent. But not only does my faith inform how I treat people with grace, but also deep down, I think that anyone who is so vulnerable, who has lost so much self-respect, that they must make themselves available to beg, they must really need it. By the standards in our society, that is a demeaning career. And so it's really difficult for me to discount those people so quickly without thinking about their emotion, what motivates them.
But aren't we enabling them when we contribute to them? Isn't there at least some consensus that you got to hit bottom and then you rise up? I know that from dealing with inmates in my work in criminal law and the drug abuse problems that they had, that there did seem to be a point where people would hit bottom. Sometimes they'd hit bottom and bottom again and rise up and hit bottom and be hard to make sense of it. But I should, before you respond, I should tell you, please give us a call here at KMUN. This is a talk radio program. We like the chat, but we really want to hear from the listeners out there. 503-325-0010. Looks like we have a call, so I'm going to take that call. You're on KMUN Conversation with John Orr. What's your name and what's your comment or opinion?
Hi, question. My name is Lisa, and I'm wondering how you define affordable housing. If you could do that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, define affordable. Yeah, that was kind of on the agenda there, to define affordable housing and also distinguish homelessness from affordable housing. And Bill, you want to take this?
Well, I think the experience of homelessness is more a result, and affordable housing is a cause. So affordable housing, as defined by HUD or the federal government, is can you afford 30% of your take-home pay to pay your rent? And obviously, in this day and age, with costs escalating out of control, and wages flat or on a inflation basis reducing over time, people are less and less able to meet a 30% of their take-home pay affordable definition, make it available for rent or mortgage.
Just to interrupt, I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are in the 50 or 60% of their income, and that means that they're one illness away or one missed car payment away from, you know, their whole life, the whole structure of their existence, getting to work, having a place to shower and take a call, is out the window.
One of the most telling articles that I referred to in my comment to the editor of the Daily A was that in January 2016, Forbes magazine, their cover article was this comment that 63% of Americans today cannot weather a $500 emergency. And so you and I can all, each one of us can think of somebody in our lives who, you know, either a car accident or an illness or a lost job or some other catastrophe in their lives has put them over the edge. And so if 30% is even in the ballpark of what portion of your expense budget there is for rent or housing, and 63% of us are $500 away from being out on the street, no wonder there are so many people out on the street.
Well, and I read something this morning, and I do want to thank Lisa for her call and encourage others to call in as well here for Conversation with John or our inaugural broadcast, 325-0010. And I heard that in the United States now, a full-time job at minimum wage will not buy you a one-bedroom apartment. And to me, as somebody, you know, when I got out of high school and I had to get a place in the summer between college and then after I dropped out in college and, you know, back and forth, this was an issue. In San Francisco in 1979, I know that dates me, I had a one-bedroom windowless apartment for $100 a month, and that was what I could afford, and that was rare. And that just makes it hard for people that are starting out or people don't have job experience or skills. That means they've got a room with other people. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't work out so great. But I just think there's something critically, fundamentally wrong with an economic system that does not provide enough. I mean, we all have to work. We have to work hard. Maybe you have to work two jobs. But, you know, if you add that that measure of success, hey, I got a job full time, what's it pay, and you got a kid, then you got a fundamental problem, and I think it's very troubling. I don't know exactly what the solution is. You'd think that a booming economy, which is what you got, low unemployment, would raise wages, but it's not really doing it. I agree that if you take that inflation adjustment, there's really the cost of living is going higher. Then, you know, and then there's the executive compensation issue. I want to, again, encourage callers to call in for Conversation with John Orr. If you have a question for Pastor Bill from the First Presbyterian Church in Astoria or myself, or you just want to let off some steam appropriately or just state what your concern is, are you interested in the city of Astoria or Clatsop County doing further outreach to help people who are homeless or help people who need affordable housing? Are you willing to support a bond measure that would provide assistance? What do you think of the people that you see? Do you feel compassion? Are you angry about it? Have you been hassled on the street by somebody you thought was homeless? Do you think it's the state or not the state's issue to try and come up with it, or do you think it's the free market? Just give us your calls. And we'll take them. I should do a station ID. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9, KCB Tillamook 89.5, streaming live at coastradio.org. So, again, we're here with Pastor Bill from the First Presbyterian Church. I want to ask you if you are familiar with, I guess it's called Measure 102. It's going to be on the ballot this November. Can you tell us what you know about that?
Well, John, just what little I know is that it is being proposed by the people that partnerships be created, taking advantage of the creditworthiness of municipalities and governments, and the bonds that they may qualify for be put to good use under the administration of local nonprofits to create opportunities for housing. Now, I must tell you that I'm skeptical of public-private partnerships. However, if nonprofits are really the recipients and expected administrators of these compassionate projects, then I do think that this proposal really warrants consideration of the voters in this state.
So basically, are you agreeing that the free market will not produce affordable housing to any degree approaching what is needed as we are confronted today? Because affordable housing projects don't pay for themselves, or there's too much of a profit margin in a greater profit margin, I should say, in other custom homes or upscale.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that the invisible hand of Adam Smith and the free market economy left to its own will not produce the kind of housing that is needed for those, not only those people who are on the corner of Fred Meyer and Warrenton, but also for the wait staff and kitchen help along Commercial Avenue. Those housing projects, if not sufficiently revenue producing, will not be in the imagination or a practical option for developers in this community or any community. Rather, if we regard that basic housing and basic respect that comes from having one's own place has some social benefit, then I think some subsidies or some partnerships have to be created, or else this problem will never be addressed.
Part of the solution that has been discussed by gubernatorial candidate Newt Bueller, and also I think as part of Measure 102, is supplying what are called supported beds. Is that the right term that's part of this problem? Can you tell our listeners out there, and gosh, there's about 10 minutes left in this program, if you want to call, I'd really like to hear what your questions are. But yeah, what is supported housing?
Well, first and foremost, John, I'd like to congratulate candidate Bueller on raising the affordable housing issue to the level of gubernatorial campaign controversy. But at the same time, when I say that, I want to stop short and say, if I understand some of the details correctly, the amount that he is willing to earmark and the devotion he is willing to pay to the project is woefully short of what it would take to make a material impact. Supported beds are, in general, kind of like what Alan Evans is doing down in Uniontown. He and his organization are trying to enable.
What's his organization? Helping Hands.
Helping Hands. Yeah, And they're just in the reconstruction phase right now in Astoria, but they've been very successful in other neighboring communities in soliciting partnerships and other sources of funds to help support these beds. There's no one contractor or profit motive that is trying to make each one of these beds in the Uniontown facility pay for itself. And we as a society and Allen Evans Inc. Helping Hands in specific have decided that this kind of social benefit is a worthwhile compromise and helps address the experience of homelessness here on the coast and maybe soon in Astoria.
Looks like we got thank you for that that comment, Pastor Bill. We have a question from somebody unidentified. Do you feel the surge on vacation rentals has contributed to the problem? Well, speaking only for myself, and that's the only thing I can do here at KMUN, I think that the supply is short. And again, the free market people who own property feel like they should be able to do what they want to do with their property, including making them available to vacation renters because it's more profitable than to workforce housing. I have to say, I think it does contribute to the problem. I don't have statistics to support that, but if the supply is small and you shrink it to any extent, it's going to make it harder for people of modest means to find a place to live. I seem to recall there was concern about this in particular down in Manzanita. Pastor Bill, any comment?
In addition to the concern that I share with you about supply and demand, to take that one step further, a comment's been made in several public forum settings that there is insufficient supply or available commercial space in the community for which some supported beds could be imagined. And that just simply is not the case. I've only lived here coming up on 2 years, and I think you can go up and down streets. I was on Alameda when...
Here in Astoria.
I was on Alameda here in Astoria, and there are several delinquent and abandoned houses just on Alameda. And I know there are conditions where it doesn't serve the bank's interest after they've foreclosed on the property to put any money into it to resell it. But there are a number of vacant and or abandoned, and I would suggest available, commercial and residential sites in the city of Astoria. If we were to make a concerted effort to try to recondition those properties or repossess those properties and repurpose them, I think that the comment that there's not available housing stock is bunk.
Well, what about, looks like we had a caller here. Hold on. Hello, this is Conversation with John Orr. What's your name and what's your question or opinion?
Hey, John, I don't want to give my name, but yeah, I just want to know, I know Pastor Bill, I know he's done a lot of work for the community, but I've been living off the grid 3.5 years, a little longer, in the middle of the forest. Don't want to give my location. I'm totally on Social Security and still have not been able to find any lucrative residents that could take Social Security because of the rent is very high. But like I said, I've been living 3.5 years out in the middle of no man's land and have just about all the conveniences that you would have in a town. But there are several homeless people like me who are on Social Security and cannot find affordable housing in Astoria or even in Portland.
So one possible solution would be to raise Social Security payments, that they contributed a more realistic amount to the cost of finding a place to live. Is that
something like that, or do what Governor Brown did over in Salem, was built that housing, which was for Social Security, which filled right away. That's the same thing with the Bud Center in Portland.
Yeah, yeah. And so are you living in a structure or a tent, or how
are you doing? I'm living in a tent. I've got a huge tent. I've got a generator, solar power. I've got a shower system. My whole camp area is under protection for law enforcement. And I've been living out here 3.5 years. I've had no problems. I've lived through some pretty good storms. But I live on a legal budget of $750 a month from Social Security, and that's all I get.
Are you on a private property with permission, or are you just kind of public property and just doing as you
I've got private property permission, yes.
I see. Well, that's really interesting. So do you perceive yourself as a homeless individual, or just one who is confronted with the affordable housing problem that plagues our community?
I don't consider myself homeless because I've got money to get back and forth to cab and all that, and I've got an income. Mm-hmm. I call myself displaced.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Pastor Bill knows what that is, displaced. Now, I have an income, and I know about 10 other people on the streets in Astoria who are about in the same situation I am, but they're deep in the classic forest, and they have about the same kind of setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a couple of them had ATVs to get back and forth to camp, and they'd love to have an apartment, but you just don't. They can't find it.
Yeah, yeah. And so what about in the winters when it rains? Does that get kind of miserable at times?
No, the tents are well insulated. My tent alone is a $1,000 tent.
Yeah.
Wow. It's insulated. I've got propane heat. I bring in my bottles. I bring in 40-pound bottles with an ATV. I'm do fine. I've got plenty of water. I got a spring. I've got what they call a Cabela shower. So I'm clean, and I even have what they call a camp washing machine.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating. I really appreciate taking the time to give us a call and let apprise of our situation. It seems to me that you've struck on something there. If we could have something called Social Security housing, and they've done that apparently in Salem, then maybe some of the political opposition would dissolve. Because the problem is Social Security just doesn't do it like it did.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And I've dealt with senior service disability. I've had 3 heart attacks. I'm completely disabled. I'm under special medication. I have several doctors with Providence and the Columbia Memorial Hospital. And they freak out about me, but they've gotten used to me. And the people I work at the senior service center have asked me to go out and look for apartments under the Social Security system. And I have, not found one that I could not afford, because either they want $1,500 down payment, then the apartment alone is $1,000-some, and I could not afford that on my Social Security.
Yeah, yeah. I think that probably, Pastor Bill, do you agree that what he's describing is a significant fraction of the homeless population?
It is. So often, I think this victim-blaming that I talked about before, it's more comfortable, I think, for us to say that, there are people with addictions and there are people with mental health difficulties that are out on the street, and that's all they are. And since we can't do anything about that, this problem is insurmountable. But in my experience, like the caller mentioned, there are significant numbers of people who are displaced, not because of an affliction or addiction. Rather, they're displaced because in a community like this, there is no continuum of housing opportunities. I'd hoped, as is mentioned in the most recent article about Helping Hands, where I was quoted by Katie Frankowitz, that we are a small community, and so we can't have the myriad of opportunities that, say, are offered in Portland, but we have people of the spectrum of means living in this community with no opportunity to be housed. I hope that there could be some Social Security level housing, there could be vacation rental housing, and everything in between. And I'm hoping to announce pretty quickly that First Presbyterian Church is on a quest to buy a vacant and unused commercial space downtown and make it available for more basic and subsidized housing.
Well, I won't
That's what we need.
Yeah, I really appreciate the call, and stay warm and safe out there. We're going to let you go. We got to wrap things up here on the inaugural broadcast of Conversation with John Orr.
All right, John.
Yeah,
thanks. Appreciate you for listening.
Okay, brother. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye.
And so, yeah, you know, let's talk about wrapping things up here. This has been a conversation with John Orr. I'd like to thank the folks that called in for their questions. And I'd like to really thank Pastor Bill of the First Presbyterian Church in Astoria. We'll be back next week with Conversation with John Orr here on KMUN at 9:30 Friday. This is KMUN, Community Radio, Astoria 91.9.